The bell for freedom still rings. The bell for freedom still rings. Sorrow to me, but does it ring to know the bell of freedom still rings? The hammer for justice still pounds. The hammer for justice still pounds. Is the beating sound of the hammer for justice that pounds. When the will the world stop and listen, when will we all stop and see? He looks upon us with a frown to know that millions of babies still starve. Millions of babies still starve. We can't have the biggest heart if millions of babies still starve. And the innocent ones still die. Still die. We can't value life too high if the innocent ones still die. When will the world stop and listen? When will we all stop and see? Cause he looks upon us with a frown. Light of truth we won't let shine. Light of truth we won't let shine. Tell me, has the world gone blind? Light of truth we won't let shine. As long as there's life, there's still a day. There's life, there's still a day. And I know that we can find our way. For as long as there's life, there's still a day.
Greetings and welcome to this special edition of Earthwatch for Thanksgiving 2013. I'm Robert Knight in New York, and you're tuned to WBAI in New York, still owned and operated by the recently renamed Pacifica Foundation Radio. In this program, we shall celebrate Indigenous voices on the subject of this autumnal holiday season, as well as our occasional guest, Reverend Billy, the great Billy Talon, on the New York District Attorney's denial of satire for his protest against banks supporting the fracking industry. His trial begins barely a week from today. But for now, this offering of peace and light on these first few moments of this Thanksgiving 2013. This is Earthwatch.
Time runs. then time and the river must stop in their tracks.
Tuned to WBAI in New York, Pacifica Radio, broadcasting at 99.5 FM. That was a special treat by none other than Janice Yen, Phoebe Snow, and my friend Odetta. My name is Robert Knight. Please allow me to be the first to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Is everybody? Has everybody got a place to hide? Is everybody safe and warm inside?
The Sound of Walela, and a group of Native American women, Rita Coolidge among them. And this is WBAI in New York, radio for a change. 99.5 FM, part of the Pacifica Radio Network, seeking peace, truth, and understanding. My name is Robert Knight, and I hope that all of you have the opportunity in these troubled times to enjoy family, friends, and feast. We'll be examining that issue tonight. Giving props to the most recent original ancestors of this land on this planet at this time. Music, science, politics, poetry, arts, and all of the things that are characteristic of that which this program is. This program is called Earthwatch, Transterrestrial Radio with Robert Knight. And although transterrestrial has some broadcast meanings, it also means that which is of this earth and yet beyond it. And thus it is that we find ourselves on this holiday, this turn of the seasons. We're going to have some music, some documentary surprises, some live surprises. This is a time of celebration of families and togetherness, and finding what succor one might among those with whom we live on this world at this time. But tonight, I'm thinking about
Thanksgiving. Among the things we'll explore in tonight's program is how native cultures of this continent have quite a different idea from what most people think American whites against the Indians Thanksgiving means. We would be foolish to assume that Earth cultures didn't have their own basis for similar ceremonies at the change of the seasons at harvest time, wouldn't we? We're going to hear some amazing testimony to that regard in tonight's edition of Earthwatch. But I felt that given this frightening honor, that the very best thing I could do is begin with my own testimony of thanks. And indeed, I do give thanks for friend, family, and feast. I give thanks for the opportunity to be here with you tonight. I remember and give thanks to every man and woman who put me here. I give thanks to all my friends and all the strangers who have loved and supported me, and maybe not even me, but the mission which stands behind me. And sometimes it's easy for a personality to confuse the perspective with the person. So I guess to put it even more simply, I am extraordinarily thankful for you. My name is Robert Knight. This is Earthwatch, and you are tuned to WBAI, Radio for a Change.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown. And accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. And if your breath to you is worth saving, then you'd better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Come writers and critics, prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, 'cause the wheel is still in spin, and there's no telling who it's naming. For the loser now times, they are a-changing. Come senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it's raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons, your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly changing. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. Line it is drawn, the curse it is cast, the slow
Pila, Pila, Maya, Pila, Maya, Pila, Maya, Loe. We chose anyone, Maya, Kucha, Pila, Maya, Loe. Tunka Shila, Pila Maya, Pila Maya, Pila Maya, Lohe. We chose anyone, Maya Kucha, Pila Maya, Lohe.
Well, I think it's about time. The way the corn's been growing for the last two or three generations.
Look at that herd of buffalo. They're ready.
Everything's living the Great Spirit's way, in harmony.
He'll be here soon.
The true white brother's coming home. Remember what the Great Spirit said? If we did what we were supposed to do and lived according to the plan, white brother would finish his work in the East and come back to us.
It'll be nice to have the family together again.
Buenos dias, amigo!
Hello, you must be the true white brother.
Sure, you must be the Indian.
Yes.
Welcome home.
Welcome to New Spain. This is your new father, Father Corona.
Down on your knees now. Do you recognize what I'm holding over your heads, lads?
It's a cross, the symbol of the quartering of the universe into active and passive principles.
God have mercy on their heathen souls.
What the father means... So what is the cross made of? Gold. Have you got any?
No.
What about the seven cities of gold? Phoenix, Tucson, Las Vegas?
This is gold.
What's that?
Corn.
Hey, corn! Now we can make tortillas!
We've been waiting for this for hundreds of years.
So this is all you got?
Yes, but aren't you the true white brother who's supposed to come and live with us in peace?
Sure. Therefore, I claim this rich word in a pasture land in the name of the Empire of Spain.
Hey, Capitano, the rain, she's a stopping to fall, and the corn, she's all dead.
Shut up, Vespucci. I claim this stinking desert in the name of the Empire of Spain forever. Let's go.
God bless Vespucci land.
Oh, by the way, Domini, you're all Catholics now. God bless you.
Come on, and Father, nobody in their right mind would live in this stinking desert.
Come on, Cisco.
Boy, I'm tired of pushing west. How long ago we leave Goshen?
About 2 hours ago. Ain't we ever gonna stop?
Quiet down now, boys. Wagon boss.
My fellow settlers.
Hold it down.
We stand here at the edge of civilization on the banks of the Mississippi River, looking west at our destiny. What may appear to the faint-hearted as a limitless expanse of God-forsaken wilderness
is
in reality a golden opportunity for humble, God-fearing people like ourselves and our families and our children and the generations a-coming to carve a new life out of the American Indian.
Welcome, white brother.
Engines! Pull the wagons up into a circle!
Why do you always do that?
We get better reception that way. Do you mind if I put this antenna up on yonder peak?
That's our sacred mountain.
This is our sacred antenna. It's shaped like a cross, made out of aluminum. Got any aluminum?
We've still got some corn left.
Hey, corn! Now we can make whiskey!
We've been waiting hundreds of years for this.
We just invented Tom Collins.
Here, Engine, you want some fire water?
No. We were warned by our elders not to drink anything that would make us weak or silly.
Put it in their well.
That's not a well. It's the eye of the Holy Serpent Mound on which you're standing.
It's a butte.
No, it's a mound.
And right purty, too. Can you move it?
But why?
Railroad's coming through. Right now.
Hey, what are we stopping for?
We in Goshen yet?
Can't go no further. This here's engine territory.
Well then, it's treaty time!
My fellow Redskins, speaking for the great white father in Washington and all the American people, let me say we respect you, savages, for your native ability to instantly adapt and survive in whatever godforsaken wilderness we move you to. Out there. Sign here.
They did it! Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No reason to complain. It's not so bad out there. We still have our people and our ceremonies and the sun, moon, and stars and the sand and the black stuff coming out of the ground.
Black stuff coming out of the ground?
Civilization! Oh!
It's nice out here in the desert. No rain, no crops, no white brother.
All out for Fort Stinkin' Desert. Last Indian reservation for 2,000 miles. You got 15 minutes, folks. Get them while you can.
Get the senator back in the bus.
God for Daniel, pesky Redskins. Which way's Goshen?
Howdy there, colorful replica of America's past. When is the exciting in its primitive splendor snake dance going to take place?
It's usually in August, but with all our children off in Indian school, there's no one left to do the ceremonies.
Hiya, Pop.
I'm home.
Hello, Soaring Eagle. It's good to have you back from school.
Oh, come on. Call me Eddie. I'm an American now.
What have they been teaching you?
Just what we need for a better life. French horn, Italian... Water polo?
Yes, at the Custer Memorial Indian School, Eddie's one of our prize students. We're giving him away next week.
Oh, my white brother.
Hey, man. Don't let him bring you down now. There's a lot of young people in this country just like myself who really know where the Indians at. And don't worry, soon we're all going to be out here on the reservation, living like Indians and dressing like Indians and doing all the simple, beautiful things that you Indians do. You got any peyote?
Hey, how much is that necklace you're wearing?
Do you know how to do the war dance?
Hold it. Smile.
Isn't it amazing how they survive on this stinking
he
desert?
Got any scalps?
Hey, let me get a shot of you and your squaw.
Hey, let's see the war dance.
Let's see the dance.
Let's see the dance.
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 Dance. Dance. Dance.
Okay, okay, folks. Fun's over. Back in the bus.
Where's little Billy Joe?
He's in that run-down outhouse over there, Mama.
That's our sun altar.
Well, Indian, just goes to show you there's an obvious need to conserve our priceless national heritage. The government is turning your home into a national monument.
It behooves me upon this historic occasion... to dedicate the Stinking Desert National Historical Indian Monument and Cobalt Testing Range.
Civilization!
Well, it's about time. There's been no corn growing for the last few generations. The buffalo's gone. There's no one left to live in harmony.
I wonder where we went wrong.
Let's just keep to the life plan. Remember what the Great Spirit said. Follow the peaceful way. The true white brother is bound to come.
All right, Indians, get ready.
Winning of the West, the massacre, take four.
Well, let's go.
This country, America. The so-called beautiful
ignores the religious freedom of the native people, steals water and other natural resources from the native people, dumps toxic waste onto the lands of the native people, pumps gin and whiskey juice into the homes of the native people, and fails to live up to over 400 treaties signed with the native people. But then, this country, America, the so-called beautiful, proclaims to honor the native people by naming sports teams after them. Teams like the Atlanta Braves, the Cleveland Indians, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Washington Redskins, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Florida State Seminoles, and the University of Illinois Fighting Illini. But that's not honoring. That's objectifying. That's caricaturizing. That's humiliating. That's stereotyping. That's degrading. That's exploiting. And that's the same as having teams like the San Francisco Sambos, the Jackson State Jungle Bunnies, the Seattle Spearcheckers, the New Orleans Niggers, the Detroit Darkies, the Cincinnati Coons, the San Diego Spicks, the Green Bay Greasers, the Baltimore Beaners, the Washington Wetbacks, the Chicago Chinks, the Golden State Gooks, the Kansas City Kikes, the St. Louis Semis, the New Jersey Jews, the New York Heinies, the Houston Honkies, the Oklahoma Ofes, the UCLA Crackers, the Phoenix Rednecks, the Pittsburgh Peckerwoods, the Wichita White Trash, and the Brigham Young Blue-Eyed Devils. But that's not honoring, that's objectifying, that's caricaturizing, that's humiliating, that's stereotyping, that's degrading, that's exploiting, and that's why I would never buy a Jeep Cherokee. I said, that's why I would never buy a Jeep Cherokee. Never buy a Jeep Cherokee. Jeep Cherokee, never buy. Never buy. Never buy. Never buy.
Some who feel no reason for Thanksgiving. To this day, I can hardly bear to think of that quintessentially American holiday, Thanksgiving. When I do, however, I do not dwell on pilgrims with wide black hats sitting to sup with red men, their long hair adorned with eagle feathers. I think not of turkeys nor of cranberry, foods now traditional for the day of feast. Unlike millions, I do not even think of the day's football games. And not thinking of it, I don't watch me. I think of the people we have habitually called Indians, the indigenous people of the Americas, those millions who are no more. I think of those precious few who remain and wonder, what do they think of this day, this national myth of sweet brotherhood that masks what can only be called genocide? Several years ago, I read a thin text that was pregnant with poignancy. It was a collection of native remarks from the first tribes who encountered whites in New England, and down throughout several hundred years. Throughout it all, the same vibration could be felt, no matter the clan or tribe, a profound sense of betrayal and wrong from people who were treated like brethren when they first arrived. In New England, the name Powhatan, circa 1547 to 1618, is still recalled, even if that wasn't his name, but what the English called him. Known as Wahansonocock by his people, he headed a confederacy of 32 tribes and governed an area of hundreds of miles. He was the father of Pocahontas, the young Indian maiden who saved the life of Captain James Smith. A year after sparing Smith's life, the white captain threatened the great chief. This is some of his response given in 1609. Why should you take by force that from us which you can have by love? Why should you destroy us who have provided you with food? We can hide our provisions and fly into the woods, and then you must consequently famish by wronging your friends. What is the cause of your jealousy? You see us unarmed and willing to supply your wants, if you come in a friendly manner, and not with swords and guns, as to invade an enemy. I am not so simple as not to know it is better to eat good meat, lie well, and sleep quietly with my women and children, to laugh and be merry with the English, and being their friend, to have copper, hatchets, and whatever else I want, than to fly from all, to lie cold in the woods, feed upon acorns, roots, and such trash, and to be so hunted that I cannot rest, eat, or sleep. In such circumstances, my men must watch, and if a twig should but break, all would cry out, "Here comes Captain Smith," and so, in this miserable manner, to end my miserable life. And Captain Smith, this might be soon your fate too, through your rashness and unadvisedness. I therefore exhort you to peaceable counsels, and above all, I insist that the guns and swords, the cause of all our jealousy and uneasiness, be removed and sent away. That's from the book Great Speeches by Native Americans, published 2000 by Dover Press. That great chief's sentiments could be echoed for over hundreds of years, but injustice would just be piled on injustice. Genocide would be the white answer to red life. Centuries later, what can Thanksgiving Day mean to Native peoples? Thank you for stealing our land. Thank you for wiping out our people. Thank you for placing a remnant of our once great numbers on rural ghettos called reservations. Thank you for abolishing most of the ancient traditions. Thank you for poisoning what little Indian lands remain with uranium. Thank you for poisoning the lands now inhabited by the whites. Thank you for letting Indians fight in American wars against other people. Thanks. The real tragedy is that millions of Americans don't know and don't want to know about Indian history and traditions. Today, the names of rivers, lakes, and landmarks bear indigenous markers of another age. The people, except for an occasional movie, are mostly forgotten, out of sight, out of mind. The easier to replace with false images of Happy Meals and turkey dinners. Happy Thanksgiving. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
When I was little, my mom would always take us to her boss's house for Thanksgiving. She said they wanted to have a real Thanksgiving with Indians. She also told me the settlers, when they first came to America, they didn't know what food was good, what food was edible, what food was poisonous. So our ancestors showed them the good food and the poisonous food. We also fed them when they were hungry and starving. They want to remember that the generosity of people, that these people were dying and they were starving. It was a cold, harsh winter. I remember we'd go over to their house and they'd have really good food. My mom never let us eat sugar, our sweets, our candy, or anything like that. The sugar was bad for us, causes diabetes. But when we went to their house, it was very impolite not to eat what they created. So we could eat anything we wanted, and we ate the candy, the sugar, the breads, the pies. I remember the pies, they were so good. But my grandma said Thanksgiving wasn't about Indians and whites getting together and feasting. It was about giving thanks. Giving thanks to the earth, to the animals, to the birds, to the spirits, and to the Creator for giving us life. We had Thanksgiving way before the white settlers came. Thanksgiving should be done not just once a year, but every day. We should give prayer and thanks for everything the Creator has provided for us. And what you needed to do was give thanks in prayer. And what you did was you thought really good thoughts. While you shopped for the food, while you prepared the food, while you served the food, and you think how good this food was, how thankful you were for the food, for nourishing you, how good it was going to taste. And you made all these thoughts go to the food. And the food actually tasted better. It was better for you and it was so good to eat. Then what you do is before you ate the food, you would prepare a spirit dish. The spirit dish was a sampling of every different type of food. The potatoes, the yams, the ham, the pie. You'd put it all together in the spirit dish, and you'd say a prayer. And then you'd take it outside and put it by a tree. And you'd ask the creator to take the food to the spirit world and multiply it and make it in abundance. And all your enough for all of your family and relatives in heaven. And they would could enjoy it and eat what you ate. The Thanksgiving meal. Then the next day, you'd come out, and if there was any food left, you'd spill it out on the ground, say another prayer. And that's how I remember Thanksgiving.
Our culture is so beautiful because spiritual power. We practice it every day. We live it every day.
Ancestors highly valued generosity. Wacha Tonaka. They shared freely of their possessions. We were taught, what you give away you keep, what you keep you lose. Thank you. Pilamiaye.
Listening to Earthwatch on WBAI New York. Happy Thanksgiving, all. For all people suffering from the loss of sight of their family, this is a time for reunion. I'm thankful, hope you are too. This is Earthwatch on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. Also, streaming on the web at WBAI.org. Radio for a change.
Inagala
Many is the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right. Just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home. So far away from home. I don't know a soul who's not battered. I don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we live so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly, and looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly. And I dreamed I was flying, and high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed I was flying. Oh, we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sailed the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, and it's all right. It's all right, it's all right. You can't be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. That's all, I'm trying to get some rest.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. day. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome today. We are.
This is a special Thanksgiving edition of Earthwatch on the Pacifica Radio Network, originating at WBAI in New York. I'm Robert Knight, and we now return to this newly profaned corporate shopping fest called Thanksgiving with Reverend Billy of the Church of Stop Shopping, which is facing a preposterous prosecution for a theatrical protest of corporate support for fracking at a Manhattan branch of J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. This is what it sounded like at one of many precedents of creative occupation earlier this September of 2013.
We are in the midst of a mass extinction at this time. I ask you to think of your own children. I'm a father of a three-year-old, and I'm worried about the kind of world that my daughter will inherit. Please, protect life. Protect the earth. Take your money out of J.P. Morgan Chase or work inside the bank to change the value system of this bank. It's the largest bank in the United States by assets, but it is also the top bank in the world for financing industrial projects which poison the atmosphere with CO2 emissions. Who caused Hurricane Sandy? Chase Bank did, if anybody did. Rise up against the corporations that are poisoning the atmosphere. It's up to you and to me. Only we can do it. Somebody give me change-a-looia.
Change-a-looia!
Somebody give me an earth-a-looia.
Earth-a-looia!
Somebody give me a life-a-looia.
Life-a-looia!
Right. Hallelujah.
Are you all right? Nobody's angry? You're angry in the white shirt, I can tell. You have children? Oh.
We're going to leave this as a gift.
To Chase.
A gift to J.P. Morgan Chase.
Love-a-luya. Bye.
We got our life savings from clouds.
Find out who is putting money into coal-fired power plants. Who is putting CO2 into the air. Who's investing in tar sands and fracking. Mountaintop removal and these pipelines that leak and explode. J.P. Morgan Chase. Citibank ain't so great either. B of A is no saint. But Chase is the devil. Look it up and take your money out.
Reverend Billy and the churches stop shopping. In defiance of all principles of performance, protest, and free speech, Reverend Billy, also known as Billy Talon, along with choir director Nehemiah Luckett, were arrested and charged with riot, trespass, unlawful assembly, and disorderly conduct, and are now being prosecuted by New York City District Attorney and disgraced former pseudo-liberal Cyrus Vance. Here now, Reverend Billy, speaking recently in Chicago about his holy protest against J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, the bank which was recently fined $13 billion for fraudulent representations during the nation's recent mortgage crisis. Reverend Billy devoted his speech to the spirit of Hurricane Sandy.
Sandy, we don't know what the hell we're doing. I gotta just level with you. We have no idea what we're doing here. A few weekends ago, thousands upon thousands of natural scientists from around the world issued a report all at once. Like a 5,000 voice scientist choir. They sang to us through the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The IPCC report came out that first weekend of the General Assembly. Sandy, you should have come through again right then. We needed to hear those people. They are the people that are taking the ice core samples, and they're in the forests getting the pulse of the roots, and they're down in the coral reefs, and they love this planet. Study it all their lives. And they got together, and they tried to say something to us all at once. About the life we're living here, and the life that our children and our grandchildren, and the life of all living things, about this wet blue ball whipping around in space with its beautiful, beautiful clouds. Nobody noticed because Miley Cyrus's ass got in the way. The devil. She had little devil horns, didn't she, when she was twerking, didn't she? Am I right? Or did I just... Is it Halloween? Have I got Halloween on my mind? That wasn't just her. It was John Boehner, too, twerking. He was in the news. Could have been anybody, though. What are you going to do? Those scientists don't know how to speak English. Scientists and diplomats. The two most indecipherable groups of human beings you could come up with. And I got the most important thing to say. The earth had to come through them. The earth was the speaker. It was a message from thousands of one of the earth's sentient beings, a particular one, scientist humans. There was a gathering of most of those very scientists in San Francisco. By a near alleluia, giving each other in some awful carcinogenic hotel somewhere, giving each other papers that only they can understand. But there's one person there who gave a paper that Naomi Klein wrote about, and the name of his paper, as complicated, as complex, with all the computer models and all the samplings around the world, a completely complex, learned piece of research by this, I think his name was Werner, Dr. Werner from San Diego. And it was just that the name of his paper was, Is Earth Fucked? And then he had a subtitle too. But he didn't dare, the U and the C and fucked were asterisks. Probably deep down, just a little bit bashful. Didn't want to say the word. And yet I can't seem to say it enough. Amen, praise me. Because I'm that kind of preacher. And then it had a subtitle, Dynamic Futility of Global Environmental Management and Possibilities for Sustainability via Direct Action Activism. So here we have a scientist who's made a completely dispassionate scientist-like review of the entire, of all the life systems of the entire Earth. And he has determined that, as far as he can tell, everything's past the critical point on every level. It's all speeding up towards the apocalypse. Except, and this, he says this as a scientist, except there is a kind of life agent on the planet Earth that has, in years past, sometimes elicited behavior which has changed cultural and economic systems such that survivability may be possible. And he calls these people or groups of people who adopt a certain set of dynamics that does not fit within the capitalist culture, which includes environmental direct action resistance taken from outside dominant culture, as in protests, blockades, and sabotage by indigenous peoples. Work. I read that wrong. I'm sorry, Bill. I read that wrong. It's just sabotages by itself. Any one of us is capable of it. And then indigenous peoples are at the top of a list of types of people who are capable of these protest blockades and sabotage, including workers, activists, anarchists? Too much anarchy in my handwriting to recognize my own my own name. Amen. Let's not go there. We need to, and we've heard it again and again in the commonality of every meeting of any people here, speakers sitting at a table together, flirting with each other, as I've witnessed many of you doing. I want you to know that the NSA is watching, but also preachers are watching as well. We know that sex among the environmentalists is very good. Praise. The one thing that I keep hearing again and again at all of our meetings throughout the weekend is, what are we going to do that is more than this? We're talking. What are we going to do that is more than this? Naomi Klein gloried in her essay, which has 41,000 likes on Facebook. She gloried in talking about scientists coming together and talking about something else has to happen. What is that? They don't know what that is. They can't find it in the natural world. They look across all of the systems, and they end up looking at us, expecting us to do something. And then that's where the conversations have gotten. Hey, is anybody recognizing what I'm saying? I've just been spying on you. I've been like going in and out of the conversations, listening to you. You're getting to that something point. It's like everybody in this conference is holding hands and like we're going to the edge of the cliff. You know, like that one chapter at the end of that one chapter in The Separate Reality, you know, where they go to the edge of the cliff and then you're supposed to, you know, be so high on ayahuasca that you don't care or something, you know. Sandy, we know what you did. You killed some of us. You saved a lot of us. You got commercial politicians to say in a presidential campaign the phrase climate change. You did that. It was something, really something to watch. It was a kind of bitter comedy. It was like Ionesco. It was like Beckett. It was. Remember, they all said the word climate change in one 24-hour period. They all, like it came up through them like vomiting. Like, climate change. Sandy, something's happened to us, Sandy. You are our model. We have our favorites. We have our Sandra Steingrabers. We have our Tim DeChristophers. We have our favorites. But we really don't have Sandys. We don't have a Hurricane Sandy. We don't have a Nelson Mandela for the weather. We have a crisis of leadership in the world that is utterly baffling as the physical systems give all the evidence they can to us that they're in a state of general degradation. Nobody from any nation state has really stepped up to talk about it. Not really. Chancellor Merkel might like get into a special like duffel bag suit and like walk on a glacier somewhere for a photo op. That's about it. And she's been reelected again forever. Amen. We visibly, we viscerally, we clearly do not have it right now. Do not know what we're doing, Sandy. We are lost. We're a little group of people here. If the earth is veering off into some unknown territory that is going to radically change my daughter's life, why are there so few of us in this room right now? Sandy, it looks to me like we are uniquely disqualified from action. We're walking in this strange society where thousands upon thousands of products are talking to us every day. And they're fronted by handsome young people who are looking us in the eye as if we're just about to have great sex or something. Thousands of advertisements. We're in a mental environment that is so torturous. The products come out of our past and they get into our future, and then they say, do you want a good future? And then they jump into our present, and then we're broke. It's a process that goes on all day long. It's consumer society, and it makes us uniquely, it deletes the possibility of direct action against that. We cannot think outside of products right now. Products is a way of thinking. It's a way of life. It is so invisible. It is so, no, we're normal life. We're democracy. Come on, do what you want. What do you want? 17 different kinds of butterfat for your milk? Yes. Amen. We are in a strange kind of life here. It's just so strange. And it is dedicated at every moment to appearing to be so normal. So normal. Built into every consumer experience is that adjustment to normality. Finding the normal in you. You know, we're finally coming to the result of permitting the big corporations to give psych grads their first year out of Stanford or Harvard, giving them six-figure incomes their first year when they're 24 years old. And then they study, they become millionaires, and they study our desires, the mechanic of our desires, for decades. And that's been going on since the 50s. And we're finally coming to the logical extreme. It's coming into our life finally. That other group of people knows so much about what we, I've got desires all over my body, you know, and I know that as I discover them, I'm getting there late. The NSA /Google/ Procter & Gamble has already been there. Come on in. Welcome. This is Billy. This is your desire. Yeah, you want to itch your right kneecap? Here it is. Yay. Amen. There you go. Hallelujah. And you'll have to pay me for that. Amen. It's okay. You can just, you know, PayPal's fine. Sandy, how to break out of that? It's interesting that we keep saying the phrase direct action because we say it with a sense of longing because we know we can't be direct. And we think that Sandra was. We think Tim was. We know that Dr. King was. We know that Malcolm was. We see people in the civil rights movement. We know they were. We see people in the gender rights, in the American Indian movement, in the women's, in the labor, in the, all the social movements that gave us the freedom in which we're walking right now every second of our lives. That cluster of social forums that we're still living on, right? But now we have to do it. We can't be nostalgic about those social movements anymore. We have to do it. We have to use what's left of the freedom that they gave us with their martyrdom, amen? Because lots and lots of folks died. Now we've got to turn around and say, all right, some of us are going to die. We're going to have to discover what direct means. I just thought of how weird it is. Savitri, my partner, she stood up in a Starbucks and said the word Starbucks, and she got kicked out of Starbucks. She said it too loud. How strict the choreographies for our behavior are right now in this country. When it's called democracy and freedom all the time, we must find a way to be direct. For a long time, going into Starbucks and learning the edges of what they allowed was something that we did because they pretend they're cafe society. They pretend that they borrow their power from Zurich after World War I, 100 years ago. Well, what were they doing in the Cabaret Voltaire? Not having a little buzz so that you can like talk yourself into like watching a Meryl Streep movie. No, they were saying, we've been slaughtered and we will continue to slaughter one another if we don't start culture over completely. They started language over. Have you ever heard tapes of the language from the surrealists, the Dadaists in Cabaret Voltaire, that era? They were starting language over. They would go and have an experience and they would have a response and it couldn't be an old language. You're giving me a feeling. I'm getting something from you. This is an ecosystem of people. Now, if my American English is just too damn indirect, maybe I should... Was that Japanese sounding or was that Danish? What was that? I know that what we're doing here in this conference is we're giving each other an assignment to do more, to do something beyond what we've been doing. We've all been thinking about what that might be. How much risk will we take? In the Church of Stop Shopping, we've been going into JPMorgan Chase banks. Chase, the top financier of climate change in the world. They're in the news every day for other things that they did that were mistakes. And their payout, their penalty is zooming up towards $15 billion. But I don't see anything about the Nirmgiri Hills in the East India. I don't see anything about the bauxite mines. I don't see anything about the gold mines. I don't see anything about the Cerrejón open pit coal mine in Colombia that displaced 28 indigenous villages. I don't see this rampaging bank, which used to be the Rockefeller fossil fuel bank, and still is. I don't see anything about what they're doing in the world. But then I do see in the news the results of the fires in Australia. I see one end of the report, but I don't see the financing of it. In fact, people don't think that banks have anything to do with climate change. And for some reason, banks are wrapped in a sort of giant consumer bubble wrap castle or something. They're not supposed to. The banks actually went to HSBC the other day. A bunch of researchers in London were on the phone with us. They say, hit your local HSBC bank. Because my lawyer doesn't like me to talk that way. He says, don't say hit the bank, okay, Billy? Don't say hit the bank. Okay. Call it direct action. Don't say you're going to hit the bank, okay? But HSBC is also up there on the list near Chase. Chase is kind of in a class by itself, but HSBC is up there. And they have on the wall... In the East Village, HSBC, they have their environmental statement. And we went in there dressed as extinct toads, golden toads killed by the blast furnace of weird hot weather coming into their cloud forest ponds from the Gulf of Mexico in the 80s. So we came in there with toad masks and the choir singing, and we're dancing on the desks and handing out information. But what we ended up doing was just reading this greenwashing Declaration of Independence. And HSBC is saying to all its customers, we're the first major bank that is carbon neutral. What they're saying is our buildings, our cars, our jets. They're saying the billions of dollars that we give to corporations that then lay waste to Western Canada... Oh, that's just our money. That's not us. But the fact is that the ruination of our earth right now is by companies that are cash starved. The top 50 fracking corporations are all in debt. Banks are their business partners. But we don't think about the banks, do we? What? All I can say is it's got to be one of those mysterious things where the product comes out of the past into the future, entices you forward, comes into your present, inhabits your body. There's an automatic enticing amnesia going on with their hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising money that they just, they're the last people taking out full-page ads in the newspapers. They're keeping some of the print editions alive right now. BP and their Gulf ads, how much money have they spent there? So we just went to court Monday. So the city of New York, and this assistant DA calls herself the people, you know, takes it right out of the Declaration of Independence, the people. The people want 1 year of imprisonment for Mr. Talon, William Talon, and 6 months for Mr. Nehemiah Luckett, who got nabbed with me. We were arrested running away from Chase, the Chase Bank, on the subway platform. Talk about regretting that the F train is late. You know what I mean? You're looking at your watch, and there they are. You know, they're running up the platform, and you're like... And so my lawyer says, wait a minute, this is 15 minutes of performance art, political performance art. And this man was a legitimate mayoral candidate just a few years ago. He got 5% of the vote. This is art. And then the DA says, this is a criminal stunt. And then my attorney says, art, crime, art, crime, art. And Nehemiah and I are going like, art, crime, art, crime, art, crime. Do you think that's direct action? All right, then you go to jail for me. I don't think anybody knows what it is right now. I don't think that Tim or Sandra would tell you that they know what direct action is right now. We know that in our country, real change from those social movements that I just mentioned, those real change that has helped us, that has saved lives, that has distributed income, that has given us human rights, real change has always involved some of us losing our lives, a lot of us losing our freedoms, a lot of us scarred for the remainder of our lives. That has been something that's common to all the social forms in American culture. And so while our pioneers meeting here over these last few days with these brilliant leaders talking to us and researchers among us, and we were coming up to the edge of the cliff together holding our hands, we know this. We're educated people. We've studied those social movements. Some more than others, but they have a commonality, and that is that risk. And we're not doing that yet, are we, really? And we have a knowledge, we have an intuitive knowledge of those social movements, that they were very strange when they happened. Look back at Dr. King now, and it looks so grand. It's like a Bible story. Bull Connor and the hoses and Pettus Bridge and everything. You just look back at it, and it's writ in our canon, isn't it? At the time, it was utterly strange, utterly weird. We have some people of a certain age here, even as old as me, and you don't dye your hair like I do. And you know that those people talk about how weird it was at the Pettus Bridge March. Dr. King didn't exactly know what to do. He comes to us like George Washington, like he always knew what to do. He was confused. He said, let's sit down. He didn't know exactly. Malcolm, trying out different religions, trying out different cultures, like with several different kinds of gangs trying to kill him, blowing up his house, running away with his family, the FBI not protecting him. I mean, how strange the gender rights movement is. When you have a nation that doesn't recognize death among a certain number of people as having any story in it, and it doesn't come from anywhere, it doesn't go anywhere. People who are gays don't have feelings. And so you think of things that you can do. Blankets that are three city blocks long with the names of all the dead. Or taking the ashes of an AIDS-killed friend and going up into one of those bureaucratic buildings and dumping them on the desks of the people that should have been responsible for that person. Weird. Weird. Our crashing through as eco-warriors isn't going to be some kind of Wendell Berry-blessed, logical, organic Subaru, you know? It's going to be very weird for us, very strange for us. It might be like starting a new kind of personal language. We might have things coming up out of our bodies that we don't recognize. Each of us is carrying around hundreds of native stories in us, amen? Our stories, hallelujah. They've been changed. Our access to our own stories has been changed radically by the mental environment of the big corporations. If we become direct in our actions in our communities and take risks that are different for us, it may be that our whole balance inside, our psychological balance might, those stories might come rushing up. Stuff from when we were kids might just come rushing up. Hello, hello, Billy, I'm back. Hallelujah. Because the corporations consciously know how to turn the volume down. Don't let them have stories from their past that might leave them able to be direct and outmaneuver product life. Oh, it's a time for us to be strange. It's a Sandy, you were strange. Sandy, you're talking to us. The best message, the clearest message, the strangest message is coming from the earth. It's coming from a little bird in the bush in our front yard. It's coming from disasters that kill us. But you're talking to us, Earthaluya. You're talking to us. We want to say that we're grateful that you're talking to us. Some of us will pass away. Some of us will live. But the reason that we will do the extra thing, that we will fly off the E at the end of the word change and go into space together, that we will embrace that weirdness, is because we know that ultimately that is what the earth is asking us to do. Because the earth is in us. We are made of nothing but the earth. The earth is in us. And sometimes we don't get to talk to that part of ourselves that is the earth. But now that part of ourselves has got to come up. It's got to come up. We've got to feel the beat of the earth in us. Feel the music of the earth in us. And we've got to know when all the products are giving us the wrong signal, when all the authority figures with guns without guns are all shaming us, are telling us, threatening us, telling us about jail, telling us about personal risk. When all that is happening, but we see a chance to be direct, to be that systems obligatory action agent that Dr. Werner said we could be. When we get that chance, and it's that weird gesture, each of us in this room will be called upon to do this. Each of us will go off the edge. Each of us is going to get to that point in a different way. Some of us are going to force it. And some of us are going to wait 10 years. And some of us are going to do it in the next 5 minutes. It's going to be different for different people. And then maybe a large group of us will decide that we have to do this together. We have to have solidarity this time. But it's going to be counterintuitive and dangerous. And we're going to look in each other's eyes and maybe say goodbye. It's going to be, we're going to die. We're going to have to be willing to die for life. We have to be life that risks death. That's what life is. Consumerism tries to teach us that death is not a part of life. You can fill that confusion, fill up that hole with another purchase. That's what they keep saying. That is why the number one fundamentalist church in the United States is doesn't come from people dressed like me. It comes from the corporations and their consumerism. That controls our behavior more than the Roman Catholic Church in the 1300s. And breaking out of that, we have to support each other. We have to be willing to be strange. We have to be willing to be uncomfortable to each other. Somebody might not take a shower for a while, amen. Blake, I'm not talking about you. I'm sorry. The next time there's a Chicago Pioneers, let's all be here. Let's look back on what we did with those 51 weeks. And some of us won't be here. Some of us will be in jail. Some of us may have died. But maybe we'll be able to say some things about the progress, about a direct communication from Sandy and a direct action coming from the earth inside of us. Maybe we'll be able to say some things to each other about what happened in these 51 weeks that put ourselves in a new level of strange intelligence than we have right now. I feel like we're all being intuitive right now. I think we're all making it up and kind of going for it, but we need more. We need more earth. Next year, Earthaluya next year. Earthaluya next year. Earthaluya. Amen. Let's hold hands here. Let's have a prayer now. Let's hold hands. Sandy, thank you for being with us here today. Thank you for blowing your wind through our bones and blood, across the crackling electricity of our minds. Thank you for releasing stories out of our legs, out of the inner recesses of our closeted minds that will make it possible for us to be stronger warriors for you. We've been working this weekend for the earth, finding more and more earth in ourselves. Be with us and protect us, but let us follow that vision that direct action vision over the next 51 weeks. We know you'll be with us, and we will be with you too. Earthalluyah. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to this special Earth Watch for Thanksgiving 2013, wherein you heard indigenous voices of various Indian nations, along with, in alphabetical order, Reverend Billy, courtesy of Chicago Indymedia and Echo Shock Radio, Johnny Cash, D Knowledge, Janice Ian, Pacifica Radio's Firesign Theater, Odetta, Walela, and Stevie Wonder. We earnestly welcome your comments and emails to your host, Robert Knight, at rknight, that's R-K-N-I-G-H-T, at wbai.org, that's rknight at wbai.org. And for Earthwatch, I'm Robert Knight in New York.
Thanksgiving is the day that we're reminded to be thankful for the things that we've got, though it may seem like little sometimes. We've always got something to be thankful for. I'd like to tell you a story about a man that I think has a lot to be thankful for. On Thanksgiving Day, a family sat down to have their meal. There was very little on the table, a few things from the field. No turkey, fancy dressing, some bread and a little beans. For the crops had been a failure, and the times were pretty lean. The father bowed his head, it was their habit to say grace, and a calmness came over his lined and wrinkled face. Dear Lord, he said, we thank you, for the sun was warm today. And we thank you for the singing of the birds, and the laughing of the children as they played. And thank you for that neighbor of mine that fixed my plow. Thank you for that old plow horse. We sure could use a cow. Thank you for the muscle. I can stand the ache. Just let me have your blessing on all I undertake. And I thank you for this country too. We've troubles now and pain, but with your help, Lord, we'll get back to where the road is smooth again. And thanks for all the love we've got and the strength to work my land. But there's nothing, Lord, that I can't do if you lend a helping hand. Thank you for my good wife, Lord, and the children that I've got. They love me for the things that I am, and they forget the things I'm not. And if somebody's down and out, Lord, and they're praying you would heed, just send them over to see me, Lord. I got more than I need. Today I worked so hard, my feet was aching. Never stopped griping about a little bit of money I was making. On my way home, I passed a man, and he was smiling, and he was crippled. Lord, forgive me when a while. The world is mine, and I'm doing fine. I just want to say I thank you for the food I eat, and I thank you, Lord, for the place I sleep, and I thank you for my coat that keeps me warm. Yes, and my feet that take me where I want to go, and my eyes that see the sunset's glow, and my ears that hear what they would know. I thank you, Lord, the world is mine, and I'm doing fine. Yes, the world is mine, and I'm doing fine. But some folks never seem to get happy. Is it just because that they're so busy getting mad, never taking time to be thankful or lend a helping hand to a fellow man? Oh Lord, his heart is filled with hate and his mind is planted on the sinking sand. I just want to say I thank you for the food I eat, and I thank you for the place I sleep, and I thank you, Lord, for the coat that keeps me warm. Yes, and my feet that take me where I want to go, and my eyes that see your sunset's glow, and my ears that hear what they would know. I thank you, Lord, the world is mine and I'm doing fine. Just want to tell you that the world is mine, Lord, and I thank you now.